A farmer was entertaining one of his sophisticated relatives from the city. At their meal, the farmer gave thanks for the food. When he finished, the visitor jeered, "This is old-fashioned. Nobody with an education prays at the table anymore." The farmer admitted that the practice was old and even allowed that there were some on his farm who did not pray before meals. Justified, the relative remarked, "So enlightenment is finally reaching the farm. Who are these wise ones?" The farmer replied, "My pigs." And that's just about right. So is our political climate as we approach the most consequential election in our history. More consequential even than during the Civil War. While the 1860s ended the evil of slavery in an otherwise cohesive, nominally Christian society, the 2020s, namely 2024, will decide whether any semblance of Christian biblical morality persists or whether we jettison the last remnants of belief in the one true God. It'll truly be a light versus dark, good versus evil, God versus the devil election. Depending on its results and the aftermath, America will either begin a great turnaround back to faith and faithfulness to God in Christ, or to allegiance to the devil, the father of lies and evil. Judy and I went to vote early last week at Schlafly Library in the Central West End. There was a very long line, which took us about 35 minutes to make it to the election judges' tables. It snaked through the perimeter of the library, passing many featured book displays. Most dealt with what some have determined as subjects de rigueur for the health and well-being of today's society, namely, all things gay, homosexual, transgender, pansexual, etc. To see book after book on endless varieties of depravity for all age groups in all genres, fiction, nonfiction, romance, mystery, etc., was frankly depressing and distressing. The godlessness in that facility was frankly palpable. The darkness inhabiting that building was literally oppressive. The construct and control system of lies that sought total control of all who entered therein was practically visible as it seemingly hung in the air over the heads of everyone in that place. We had been in that library many times in years gone by, when daughter Jacolia had been little and schoolwork required access to many library resources. But that was way back over 20 years ago. It was not so dark and oppressive back then. Just from that one visit to an otherwise modern library facility, one could tell that something has changed. Indeed, America has changed. In just the last quarter century, America has turned further and further away from God and the Bible. Fewer and fewer people read the Bible, while more and more people are both offended by it and strive to suppress its availability while promoting ever greater accessibility of pagan, occultic, wicked, depraved, sensual, sexual, evil volumes. Since when did we start using words to mean the exact opposite of what they originally meant? Since when does dope mean something or someone is really great and exciting? The same for wicked. Does it not seem like there are forces at work actively trying to dismantle our use of language so that we no longer know what we're really talking about or saying anymore? Does it seem like someone or thing is trying to confuse us to such a degree that we'll agree and accept whatever we're told? Are not our children being dumbed down so they can't literally think straight anymore or make judgments for themselves, but conditioned to jump to join with whatever social media is pushing at any given moment? Since when did college students, supposedly the smart kids, now blindly follow whatever professors parrot? For example, wave Palestinian flags chanting from the river to the sea while simultaneously not knowing what river or sea they're talking about. These adult children have not grown up, and without conscientious adult guidance will never mature into socially productive citizens who can lead society's institutions in the future. They are ripe as useful idiots to serve as cannon fodder for whatever nefarious destructive wars to destroy both humanity and the environment that the dictators in power desire. We're now at the point where civil discourse between most strangers is no longer possible. Once a political persuasion has been revealed, and it's the wrong one for the other person, rational conversation is unattainable. People can use the same words but mean entirely different things. They will talk past each other, and neither will be able to understand how the other thinks. Any meaningful exchange of ideas or acceptance of new ways of thinking is unobtainable. Minds have been educated out of rationality, resulting in ever declining intelligence. Dumbing down the younger generations has become an art form of the globalist elite, themselves empowered by the evil entities opposed to God. Truly, such people are less enlightened than that farmer's pigs. The whole situation is literally hopeless. The Jackass Party first offers a geriatric, tottering old man with dementia to be president and continue to be president when he often can't remember where he is or even speak intelligibly. When his shortcomings and inadequacies became too obvious, the Donkey Party pivoted to offer America a mixed-race woman who, while speaking in a variety of language, accent, affectations, can nevertheless not express any coherent concept or idea beyond that which an elementary school child could convey. She is joined by a man, and I use that term loosely, whose self-proclaimed achievements as mayor of Minneapolis and governor of Minnesota include mandating the installation of tampon dispensers in boys' school restrooms. If this is not outright insanity, it's borderline psychosis. And these are supposedly the future leaders of America. What all this reveals is that America was truly a Christian nation at its founding. Because take away the Christian foundation, and what is left? A pagan conglomeration of small tribes speaking many languages and believing many things. Such groups do not a nation form. Indeed, they cannot. They have no common culture or identity to hold them together. America as a melting pot held together as long as the Bible held us together. In other words, God's Holy Spirit in Christ Jesus is the bedrock and the glue which holds us together and makes us one nation. As former President Reagan famously stated, we are a nation under God. If we ever forget this, we are a nation gone under. As a country, we don't have what all other countries have that forms nation states. Without the Bible, we have no single unifying culture, language, history, or heritage. In other words, without God, we cannot remain united and will instead, in very short order, cease to exist as a nation. We will fragment into ever smaller units as people seek to find others like themselves with whom they can work together. As divided, we fall and fall apart. We'll fall prey to our enemies who seek to seize whatever remains of our wealth, power, and lands. But it does not have to be. As people of the book, the Bible, who still read it and follow it, you do diligently read it and seriously follow it, right? We, as God's Christian soldiers, stand in the way of America's disintegration and destruction. As vessels of God's Holy Spirit, we still have our right minds and can discern right from wrong, what used to be common sense from what is fantasy and deranged idiocy. As the darkness threatens to overtake and engulf us, we can do the one thing that no one else can. We can appeal to heaven. Heaven, that is God, is the final arbiter. He is the last resort. He is the supreme judge over all other judges. He has the absolutely last and final word. And just one little word from him can change everything. In the blink of an eye, all we have to do is just that. Appeal to the one and only just judge. Have we all been appealing? That is, praying? Consider Daniel. He was just one man. Yet in the face of hungry lions, treacherous backstabbing colleagues, governmental intrigues, and religious persecutions, he remained faithful to God. Are we as faithful? When it was illegal to pray to God, he prayed anyway. Damn the consequences. He'd remained faithful to God. And how did God use him? In chapter 9 of the book which bears his name, we read his prayer for his people. What a prayer! Note how he confessed the sins of the people while testifying to the awesome character, love, passion, and faithfulness of God. A real friend of God was he. When you're friends with someone, you share things with each other. You tell each other your secrets, which explains why Father God shared more revelations about the future to him than to anyone else except John the Apostle, and why he could pray so effectively for the people. America needs similar prayer. Without our prayers, and especially up to Tuesday and in the months following, America will not survive. Your commitment to prayer is imperative. So at home, use Daniel's prayer as a template. Insert America into his confessions and petitions, and God will use your prayers to save America so she can fight for God's kingdom for years to come. Let us pray. Again, Father God, we thank you so much for your word, your Bible, that records all these ways in which your servants were used by you in the most simple ways to bring about earth-changing results. Impress upon us, each of us, that our little prayers, which seem so useless, are really very useful in your hands. For with you, we are a majority. Help us to bring about your will for our country called America. In Jesus' name. Amen.